You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated to the metals. I'm Rob alongside Miles and Tori, and together we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the physical precious metals for delivery, storage, or IRA accounts. Now this week, if you want to see the charts that we are referencing, go to www.mcilvaney.com/radio, because each week the three of us are going to provide a technical analysis of these charts and the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move and predict the markets. Today we're going to get into the volatile price action, Federal Reserve rates, the metals outlook, and some new fundamentals that are driving the outlook. Miles, let's start this week's price swings and performance.
Sure, and I'm going to do my absolute best not to just start chatting on each chart, because I know I have a tendency to stretch out the intro here like I'm currently doing. So we'll jump right into gold. Gold down about 3.5% since our recording last Wednesday afternoon. We do record Wednesday to Wednesday, so a
turn
little
out
post,
the lights, the
post Fed announcement.
No, it's not. I've had some serious business occur as people have been waiting for this. And it's wonderful. We love it. I'm sorry, Miles. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just said I'm not going to do it. Now you guys are doing it. Alrighty. Weekly charts here. Then we can talk all you want to, but you know how the producer demands we do this in a certain order, so we're going to adhere to it. Gold down 3.55%, currently to $3,930. And here in a second, Tori, we will allow you to turn out the lights. But before we do so, let's move over to silver, down not quite as much, which is helping the ratio a bit, down 1.7% to $47.70. And that's definitely not the whole story with silver over the last couple weeks. So we'll dive into that in a second. Let's check out the other white metals. Platinum dead even, up and down, but all around ending up back exactly where it started at $1,567. Palladium, on the other hand, was the big loser in the metals this week, down 4%. So it's losing some ground on platinum. Platinum standing still. Palladium sort of tripped and fell backwards a bit, back to $1,409, $1,409. And then a quick glance over at the paper market. The S&P really liked today's news. Big surprise, up 2.8% on the week to new highs. Not today, but hit new highs, I think, Monday or Tuesday, 6,890. And finally, the U.S. dollar, down up until about an hour ago. So it was down, I think, like a percent, percent and a half up until about an hour ago, with a nice big bump up, and ends our week up 0.14% on the news today, sitting, I believe it was right at 99.50, so a little bit under 100. Now, fellas, thank you for letting me get through the weekly charts. Where would you like to start today?
I think Tori has a lot to say. Tori, take
sounds
it away,
like Tori
buddy.
Wants to Tori, sing.
Tori always has a lot to say about nothing. That was it. My show's over. I just wanted to be able to say I was on the radio singing.
ASCAP's going to call and fine you.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it may not sound like a whole lot of change over the course of the week, especially with silver, but we really have had some big swings here, you guys. I mean, in the last couple of weeks, gold actually bottomed around $3,889 before rallying earlier this week. That's 11% below that $4,380 peak, right around the $4,400 mark. And same with silver. My question is, did they both get oversold? Because silver was down 16% below the peak of $5,452. So 11% and 15% or 16% pullbacks are huge and arguably oversold. And so it begs the question, you know, has the bottom been put in? I'll tell you this. I mean, I'm convinced, and Miles, you can technically prove me wrong, the cycle seems to have topped this cycle, right? Mm-hmm. We finally found a top.
Yep.
Because we chopped sideways in gold all summer. Silver continued to climb really since April. And now they both have topped. And now we're trying to find the floor, trying to find the bottom of this pullback, right? So,
well, and the moving averages will show that, the 50 and 200 day and the Fibonacci's. I mean, we're coming in conjunction with the 382 and the 50-day, aren't we, Miles?
It's on gold, the 50% line and the 50-day. The 50-day sitting a little bit below the 50% line right now, which gold has moved below the 382 and is working its way down to the 50.
Okay, okay.
Silver, very similar, just more volatile. Silver actually yesterday hit the 50 and today hit the underside of the 382. So it's actually trading in between those two fib correction levels, also with that 50-day sitting just below the 50% line. This is normal trading. The numbers feel big and the percentages feel big just because of the volatility we saw through August, September, October. And anytime you have this quick of a reversal, it's not unreasonable to see, like, say, some of the indicators snap back and forth. So this is the type of thing where I do caution people to approach technicals with the appropriate mindset. They're tools that kind of help inch you towards the correct potential conclusions. Say, let's take something like some indicators that are momentum indicators like RSI, where what you're really looking at is current market pricing related to, say, the last 14 days of trading. So one of the big things here is we go back 14 trading days on something like gold, which would be, I think it was Thursday the 9th, you know, 10 trading days a week plus an extra 4 days, 14 trading days. So you're looking at gold at $4,003, then running all the way up to what, 4360, 4370, and then having a relatively rapid decline back to around 3950, let's say. So you look at an indicator like that, that says, oh, you're dramatically oversold at this point. And it's like, yeah, but you're oversold compared to just that 14-day period of time. It's not taking into account, say, the move up from August, which started down in the 3300s. So what you're looking at with things like indicators is setting consistent trends within the indicator. That's why we like looking at things like, say, divergence, where you have a rising floor in an indicator, but a declining floor in the price. So you see the price and the indicator diverging from each other. And that usually takes a couple weeks or a couple months of consistently playing out. So I would argue we are way too early in this pause in the market to dictate exactly when and where we're going to find bottom. But I think there are a couple traditional expectations when markets show this type of behavior. Like, for instance, I think there are some good arguments to make that this is not an actual correction. We're not looking at gold correcting down to 2900 or 3300. You know, what we're probably doing is just building a stair step or a base or a wedge or whatever word you like to use for a pause.
Well, and if we move from the technicals and look at some fundamentals, let me pull the curtain back. If you look at the commodity trading accounts, which are typically wealthy accounts managed for them in the commodities, they began shifting, reducing their percentage holdings long gold and taking that money and shorting the energy market and also shorting the grain market. So you do see a shift in the commodity trading accounts, the CTAs, from the metals to using that capital to gamble shorting energy, shorting grain. At the same time, you're seeing ETFs in China rapidly purchasing. So ETFs in the East are gaining. Well,
and the West now.
And the West now, too. I was going there because ETFs in the US and the West are also buying. So we're going from momentum trading of these CTA accounts. They just trade momentum into stronger hands, Wall Street and the East. So they are buying. So I'm not too worried about this. I'm just grateful for the pause.
No, and here's where that concept of momentum trading, here's where it lines up with the point I was getting to, in that when you have these pauses, because you end up building these kind of wedge and pendant formations, it's usually the first or second push down that's the deepest. So whether we get a bounce here, let's say we get a little bit of a bounce here and then it continues down a little bit, but at some point here in the next couple of weeks, it's very likely we're going to put in the lowest gold price. And then we're going to have some sideways trading where the highs maybe stay the same or decline a little bit, but the lows start coming back up. Yeah. And that's very common wedge. In pauses. That's your classic wedge.
Yeah.
So for those of you wishing to follow along while seeing images, you can do so on our website at McIlvaney.com. That's McIlvaney.com. So let's take a look at that then, 2002 to 2012. Because that's exactly what you'll find. There's no fewer than 8 to 10 of these pullback scenarios in a very healthy bull market over a decade, which is kind of what we're seeing now. Miles, would you argue that this bull market really started 2016, like right around the first of the year of 2016?
I would say, obviously, the lowest price we saw in gold was that December 2015, where we were even sub 1,100. I think we got almost to 1,050.
Which would be the floor.
And then we had our turnaround there. We had the first big push up by the middle of 2016 up to around 1,350. So we had about a 30% rise. And then we had our first real correction. It came all the way down to like 1,125. And that was the lowest it ever got again. So it's the same pattern over and over again. You get a push up, you get a correction back down, and then we really had sideways trading there up until it finally broke above that price, but that didn't happen until 2019. So arguably, you could say the bull market really started around the end of 2016 when we put in that first low that was higher than the all-time low a year prior. But that was in the middle of a multiple year floor kind of sideways trading pattern before gold finally broke out, and it ran all the way up till COVID. And then it did the same thing again. Remember, it did the same thing after COVID.
Yeah, great point.
I know what you meant when you said all-time low. Remember now, I was buying gold at $100 an ounce back in the early 70s.
Which wasn't the all-time low.
No, it was 35. My old man looked at me, he goes, Robert, are you sure you know what you're doing? Yeah. Gold's tripled in the last 2 years. I'm like, yeah, Dad, you know.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
All-time low on this particular market cycle, which ended in 2012. How about that?
Because we're going to have some old-timers listening to us. Like, I remember when gold was cheaper than $1,100.
But we were all here during the financial crisis and the price decline following those peak all-time highs there in 2011. We all witnessed, we all worked through that. I mean, that seems like recent memory, really. It doesn't even seem like it's that long ago, but Miles, to your point, this is a pullback. This is not a breakdown. To me, I'm very encouraged by these necessary pauses.
Well, and it's not even a pullback yet.
I was just going to say, I don't even consider it a pullback. No. I consider it as an opportunity. And I want to thank my clients who loaded the bear on these last two big drop days. Thank you guys, because they just rang the bell, in my opinion.
Yeah, more power to them. And as you're going to cost average in, this is what you remain patient for. Or you dollar cost average out. Yep. For some reason, you have a liquidity need.
Yeah.
But we said a few weeks ago, look, when does this end? We'll know when this cycle exhausts itself, when you start hitting lower highs and lower lows. Mm-hmm. We've been doing that. And that hasn't ended yet, right?
No, Miles? We're still at the beginning of that.
When does the pause or retreat end? When we start seeing higher highs and higher lows put in. We don't know when that is. So what we do is our best to try to educate you and inform you as to what the number may look like when we start to see that turnaround. And even that is guessing. Hindsight is much better. That's why Miles and these chartists, you know, these technical gurus, they all have hindsight more
than you're not wrong. Hey, man, I can only read dead tea leaves. I can't read the living ones.
That's right.
You're not
so
wrong.
We have to focus on fundamentals, like Rob was saying.
Exactly. Yeah, and I almost tried to make that transition for you, Tori, just so I could have you sit in stunned disbelief.
I heard it. Nobody else heard it. I'm sitting here smiling. I just didn't get a chance to talk. I'll take it and run with that baton anytime you want to hand off to Mr. Fundamental.
We've played enough in the charts. Everybody gets it. Like, here's, and this is the thing where anybody who likes to spend time with charts, please please, 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 these are broad brush strokes. They're giving you trend and momentum concepts and general ideas as to where you might see the attitude of the market begin to present itself as changing. If you're using a stock chart or a gold chart or anything else to try to pinpoint entry and exit levels, man, you never owned the Euro-Australian dollar pair on a Sunday afternoon when some guy in New Zealand makes a comment about them pegging milk prices to the United States and you're watching your account tumble. I totally just made that example up, and that definitely didn't happen to me 10 years ago in the Forex market. So be super careful.
But it provided a great tax write-off.
Yeah, be super
theoretically, that,
careful.
Not that it ever happened.
Yeah, oh, super duper careful, especially in a volatile market like this. Yeah. Look for trends, because now let's transition over to fundamentals, because from a charting perspective, the most fundamental thing I do with my money is every 2 weeks I buy a little bit of gold in my vaulted account, and I couldn't care less what the price is.
Well, you couldn't, because of monetary policy and fiscal policy.
Yeah.
Those two things alone are the reason that you continue to add to ounces over your lifetime.
Well, and people got shocked because Federal Reserve Chairman said, okay, we're going to cut rates today, but I'm not going to cut rates in December, so you shouldn't expect that. Well, he's gone in January, so.
Well, he's really not gone till May. I mean, he may become completely lame duck after the first of the year. Yeah. There's already a regime change at the Federal Reserve, and it's creating division.
Oh, yeah.
So they're replacing individuals, and he even said that there are, quote unquote, sharp divisions in the Fed with what to do with future rate cuts. And he said additional cuts are not a foregone conclusion. The market thought that they were. But when he said that, he said, in fact, far from it. So you're right. He kind of stole the thunder. Okay, we'll give you your 25 basis point rate cut to 3.75 to 4% on the Fed's lending rate. But then he kind of rained on the parade by saying, don't expect any more necessarily in 2025. Well, we said that on this show 2 months ago. And the reason that we said that 2 months ago that we wouldn't see four is because inflation was running away from them. Well, last week we got a delayed CPI because of the government shutdown, but it came in at 3%, and they tried to spin it and twist it into a positive because 3.1% was expected. That's not a win. 3% year over year inflation, and it's supposed to be 2%, and it should be 0%.
And that's according to how they calculate it. I think the rest of us know it's a
double
little higher than that.
Oh, goodness.
At least
double it.
Twice, not three times. Yeah.
Totally. So that right there is the other reason. Look at the inflation. They're hiding behind this financing of our government debt, the need to keep interest rates lower and compete on the global stage for debt
buyers. That's exactly right.
They're doing that at the expense of us paying more for the same stuff. That's inflation. Mm-hmm. And they're hiding behind weak labor market numbers, which have been terrible anyway for years. So,
yeah, and Amazon didn't help.
No, Amazon didn't help. And I mean, the AI is not helping, and job replacement and in general. I mean, how many jobs did Amazon cut? Like 12,000?
That was a lot. I think it was more than that.
Maybe 15,000, they're saying. A lot of that is kind of AI driven, and you're going to see more and more of that. But look at the data. Don't get pulled into the drama. And yet there is a lot of drama. And Miles, jokingly, we make fun, but no, the technical charts are so necessary because it brings peace, it brings calm, it brings order. We are not claiming to be prophetic in our price predictions. We don't want to get into that game because we don't care if you're buying or if you're selling. We make a market both ways. We want to be advising you based on what we see as the truth. We're not perma-bulls, and we don't just need you constantly buying more, buying more, buying more. That's not what our firm is centered on. We don't care which direction it's going. We just want to help you and be as accurate as we can. So looking at the rate cuts, we'll see what they end up doing. But politically, the Federal Reserve is just a small example of the divisions that are increasing domestically. We've got government shutdown. That's a political division. But we really have a cycle of decline in all four main sectors, political, economic, monetary, and social in the United States. And the political, I mean, obviously, the government shutdown is an example of that. But just in terms of Main Street political divisions, you see it there as well. Economic downturn, it is represented in the labor market in this big shift that we have, and the need for tariffs and some other ways of stimulating revenue because our debt and deficit is so bad, which takes us to monetary, the debt and the spending. and the lack of control there. And then the social. I'm starting to get more worried about domestic conflict than I am foreign conflict. Would anybody disagree with that? And what happens to the gold price if that happens? So those underlying fundamentals are what matter. And then you can add the geopolitical. You can add the world stage where the tensions are increasing with China. Hopefully we have a productive meeting this week between Trump and Xi Jinping. And then we've got carrier strike groups going into the Southern Pacific. We've got warships going down towards Venezuela. We've got U.S. sending troops to Israel to monitor the ceasefire. So now you've got an increased presence there. So that hasn't gone away.
And the ceasefire is not doing too great either.
No, super fragile. There's little skirmishes here and there and bombings and what have you. All that to be said, I feel wonderful about this pause.
Me too.
And I can't wait to see, with hindsight, where it bottomed. And then we can once again get far more accurate in our prediction as to how you dollar cost average in.
Well, that's just the point. You know, instead of waiting for the ultimate bottom, let's just move forward.
Yes.
Let's do a little bit at a time or go for it.
I mean, Miles said it.
Yeah.
Just buy all the time. Buy always and often, and you don't worry about the minutia. You take the Rob approach, who bought 50 years ago at $100 an ounce. Right?
Do you still have those coins?
Oh, no. Golly Moses. Yeah.
That would be cool.
They were long gone. I used them to buy a car in 1977.
I would love to hear the example of what car you bought and how many
ounces.
It was
a Plymouth Satellite.
I wonder what that car costs, how many ounces today, but yeah.
Being that the last person to drive a Plymouth Satellite was Barney Rubble, I don't think they make that car anymore.
Except for me in 1988. My buddy had a Plymouth Satellite all through high school, gold with gold interior. The whole thing was
gold.
It was incredible.
Did it have shag carpet?
Yes. It was amazing. I forgot about that car till you just said it. Oh.
And I went out and sold books door to door for my second summer and did really well. So I increased my investment allocation by about 10 times.
Well, you levered it and you can do that right now. There are some instances where some of you who have just profited greatly could trim the position. It represents now a greater percentage of your portfolio than you're comfortable.
Exactly.
And you lever that and you go find the next great value without doing away with your metals altogether. That's a great example.
Yeah. Well, here's the fun thing about an inflationary crack-up boom is everything goes up except for the amount of money you have to spend on it. So if you happen to be one of the lucky few during a crack-up boom that actually has more than you need on a daily basis, then look what the S&P is doing this particular week while gold is taking a little bit of a break. The S&P was taking a break, gold was going up. Now gold's taking a break, the S&P's going up. There is a method to the madness of looking at proper diversification. Now, diversification doesn't mean throw a fistful of darts at the Wall Street Journal.
True.
There is an appropriate way to diversify and by mandate or by purpose. We can certainly talk through that with anybody who wants to understand how do I slice my pie up and then how do you move pieces around through the years? And there's a method to that.
And sometimes you don't even need to move pieces. I had a lady a year and a half ago put her 401k into a gold IRA. It's up, golly Moses, it's up over 60% since she bought it, closer to 70%. And her financial advisor said, sell all your gold and I'll put you in some income producing because she wants to retire early and start generating income. And I'm like, you can do that with your gold. You don't have to sell your position and go into a fixed account. You know, how much do you need per month? And I'm like, you can take 30% of your gold, provide a monthly income that you need right now, and at the end of 5 years, still have 70% of your position intact, and it will keep up with inflation. In 5 years, do you think things are going to cost more or less? Are you expecting a downturn in the cost of living, or do you expect it to continue going higher? Well, I think it's going to go higher, Rob. Well, of course it will. And that gold that you're selling every month, I'm creating a lot more work for our company, but we'll do a monthly liquidation instead of you cashing everything in and we get paid our fee and we go our separate ways. Let your gold work for you. Don't just look into a fixed account at low interest rates.
And not only could it work for her over the long term, it can work for her right now.
Yeah.
You know, you use the buying the car example. You can still do that now. You've saved 40% on that car this year by having sat in gold instead of dollars. Correct. So always be sitting in gold. Put yourself on the gold standard. And then when it does have an overshoot like this,
take advantage.
Now everything else you need to go buy is at a discount, even though, Miles, your point is accurate. Everything's gotten more expensive. But hardly anything, including the S&P, has come close to keeping pace with the performance of gold.
Right.
True. I think that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate everyone stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website, McIlvaney.com. You can find us at /radio or any other info about your precious metals. Precious metals investment there on the website. You can also find us on Twitter. We're on a couple different social medias, Twitter at ICA Gold, Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. But better yet, why not give one of us a call here at McIlvaney Precious Metals and talk about your personal portfolio? You can always reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.